Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I really don't believe there's a kicker out there that never misses in practice and in the games. It's how do you respond to it? So yesterday, he was, I think, 7 for 8. And after his miss, he came back and he made it. And, it's in practice. It's not a game. But there's a lot of evidence out there with a lot of different kickers in the history. I'm not talking about the last 2 or 3 years. I'm talking about in the history that have come out and struggled early on and been Hall of Fame kickers and Pro Bowl kickers currently.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That is Matt Nagy talking about kickers. God knows we haven't talked enough about the kickers.
Oh, no. We need to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
And let's exhaust the topic.
To that end, Let's get out to the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. And there we find Rich Campbell covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great, fellas. How you doing?
We are just wondering if... I hate to discredit a story, but there are a lot of disgruntled former employees apparently that didn't like the kicking competition. I didn't particularly like the kicking competition, but I don't know that it's as big a clown show as it's kind of being portrayed.
I completely agree with you, Mully. I was actually really excited to talk to you guys about this today because both you guys are newspaper men who I respect, and anytime a story like this comes out, there's obviously a lot that people who are in the business like us understand that goes into it. I thought there were some chances for some balance to this story that were either ignored by the author or, for whatever reason, not gathered. I thought a couple of those Matt Nagy quotes from yesterday would have looked pretty good in that story, saying he defended the process and talking about a few of the things along the way. And to your guys' point, another element of that story that I thought was missing was, let's go through the accuracy, the field goal accuracy of all 9 of those guys from rookie camp. They stunk.
Yeah.
Guys, they were terrible.
Right.
Okay, Justin Yoon, this Notre Dame kicker who, to his credit, put his name on a quote in that story, the guy was 63% at the 3-day rookie tryout. That is hot garbage. So these guys were lucky to be on an NFL field to begin with. And then to come away talking about, whether it was anonymously or some of these guys put their names on it, there were just not positive vibes at the tryout. Make your kick, man.
Well,
make
welcome to professional kick. World, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, just to hear Yoon in particular, since I mentioned him, he was quoted as saying he thought the Bears were trying to placate the media. I think you guys would agree with me that would be the first time in history the Bears were trying to placate the media. I mean, I think that, that 72 hours in May was extraordinary. And that was chronicled at the time. And I think the writer in Sports Illustrated did a good job of chronicling how extraordinary that was. But here's what people really need to understand. And I thought this was the biggest part of that story that was missing. Since the Bears narrowed the competition to Fry and Pinheiro for the start of training camp, this has been a very, very normal, conventional kicking competition. Nagy has not been fixated on this 43-yarder this summer. In fact, when they went to Soldier Field for the first time for that practice, he didn't have those guys kick at 43, and I thought that was odd. I thought it was against the MO that we had seen from Nagy leading this thing, and I asked him about it afterwards. Matt, why didn't you have these guys line up 43 yards from the right hash toward the north goalpost? And he said, I left that in the offseason program. We've moved forward. They don't show that video all the time now. They didn't have those guys kick from 43 yards on a daily basis in camp. Their sets of 8 field goals just straddled, it was 42, it was 45, it wasn't 43. So this fixation, this obsession, it really tapered off once they got to this part. Now they're just kind of in a normal competition trying to see if a guy can get a foothold in the league.
That's a good point, Rich. And I had some mixed feelings about this story as well because I thought it was put together pretty professionally, and I think the writer has a pretty good reputation for doing these things. But I also think we've all been there. So you have a bunch of sources that are willing participants, and they have tremendous detail. So you're like, oh my gosh, I could already envision the lead when you're interviewing these guys, and they're at Chili's, and they're having this discussion about, boy, what was that? But they're kickers. They're whining about not getting the job. Of course they're going to commiserate together. So I questioned the approach overall because of the lack of balance. At the same time, I've been around this organization long enough to know the Bears invited this. They deserve this.
Yep.
And if you're going to plan the circus, you know, as I said at the 5 and 5, don't complain about the dancing elephants and the juggling clowns, because this is the distraction you created yourself. So I am of two minds of this, even though I didn't necessarily love the story. I think the Bears probably deserve all the second guessing they're getting today.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And, you know, I talked about this with a few of the guys in that media room yesterday as we were up there. And, you know, that's a point a few people made, is that, look, you invited these bad kickers to come be part of what you were trying to find. And so you're inviting all of that. If you're not going to invite professionals in, and these guys were amateurs completely, no one's in another camp, that this might be something that is an unintended consequence of that. And so the Bears are going to have to live with that. And this is what I love about the whole thing, is that, you know, the saying, winning cures everything. I mean, it works as a microcosm with just make the kick. Because if Pinheiro makes kicks, they can say, hey, that circus, that led us to this guy. I mean, truly, they came out of that camp and said, we can't go with any of these guys. We've got to go elsewhere. And it led them to Pinheiro. If he doesn't make kicks, then I think because we are at the deadline, we're at the deadline for the regular season where these, you know, the search has to be at least, providing some type of promising result by now, then I agree. That element works back into it. And then again, the spotlight and the questioning and the skepticism, the criticism, that opens up again, because now it's for real. You've gone 8 months, and where exactly have you gotten? And I think that's what was, for Bears fans, disconcerting about Nagy on Sunday when they cut Fry and they go with Pinheiro, and Nagy says, hey, it could go good, it could go bad. He's never kicked in a game before. He said, whoa, we're 8 months in. Don't you need a little more certainty by now? I think the answer should be yes, and I don't think they have it.
All right, moving beyond that, I don't know. I'm sure there aren't a lot of people that are going to adjust their Saturday night plans to make sure they're in front of the TV when the backup Bears face the pretend Colts or whatever it is, but no one's playing, right? There's no dress rehearsal to this game.
There's no dress rehearsal to this game. There's no dress rehearsal for this season.
Right.
It's just cross, get your red marker, cross off one more day to September 5th. And so it really is all about the kicker in this game. You know, if Eddie Pinheiro takes the field, that's when it's time to watch. And you could probably just check it on your Twitter feed, because I'm sure you'll get a billion tweets about whether he made it or not. But that truly is the one element that is interesting here, because they did change the dynamic for him, letting him kick the whole game. They want him to maybe feel more comfortable, to maybe feel a confidence boost, to maybe feel ownership of this, and just to start making kicks. That really is the only shred of intrigue in this game, as far as I'm concerned.
Two things more for me about the kicking story, Rich. Do you buy the assertion that the Bears were going to cut Cody Parkey regardless of his appearance on the Today Show? And then second to that, what do you know about Jamie Cole, and why are the Bears kind of keeping him under wraps?
Yeah, so these are important issues that were brought up in the story, so I'm glad you did that, David. So I 100% believe that Parkey was done as soon as that ball hit the ground at Soldier Field on January 5th. I don't think the Today Show had anything to do with it. I think once we saw Matt Nagy going for two after touchdowns when the situations in the game didn't call for it, you knew that the coach had completely lost confidence in the kicker. And Parkey earned that loss of confidence. He was just so erratic, and mentally he couldn't bounce back from it. And, you know, in that moment, I do think it came down to the one kick. He makes the kick, then, you know, you change the narrative. It's, hey, he's got the mental fortitude. He rose to the occasion. I mean, even earlier in the season, after he hit the upright four times, he won Special Teams Player of the Week with his performance, I believe it was against the Vikings. So, you know, they saw something in him. They certainly gave him a long leash. The contract demanded such a long leash, but he was not mentally, you know, as Chris Tabor vouched for what Parkey had under the hood, it turned out that was not good enough. So I think that today's show was just sort of the icing on the cake with that. The Jamie Cole issues here are very interesting, and all we have to go off right now are the results on the field, okay? And right now, the Bears have had Jamie Cole for 3 months, and even they don't know if they have their kicker on the roster, okay? Well, that's a bit of an indictment of what this kicking consultant has come here to do. You would like to think that over 3 months, he's, you know, sharpened the technique of these guys to a point where, yeah, they're banging kicks through with consistency, and the Bears feel good about it, and off they go. In terms of the bias, you know, that was presented in the story, so I think there's two separate issues. One, can the guy coach? But number two, is he showing bias to guys who have been through his camps? I mean, the guys who were cut stunk, okay? So this idea that, oh, you know, Jamie Cole is sugarcoating the criticism of his clients in these tryouts, dude, they stunk, okay? But I thought it was interesting on Sunday that Eddie Pinheiro, when we had asked him about his process over the 3 months here, he credited Cole with really helping him with two things. One, walking his steps off before he gets aligned for the kick. There's some detail in that that Pinheiro finds valuable. And the other part was aligning his body to the target on the kick. So here you have a voice saying, hey, Jamie Cole's really helping me, and I appreciate the work I'm doing with him. That would have looked good in that story, first of all. And number two, with that, Eddie is, even with those improvements, he's still not in a position where he's got the job locked down. So how much is he really improving? Not enough. So I think the jury is out on Jamie Cole, and that's probably the kindest way to say it.
What did you make of Kevin White getting cut? That was, I felt really bad for the kid because he's obviously a former first-round pick and a guy that was waylaid by injury early in his career and has never made it back.
And Rich was going to pick him second in his fantasy draft.
Well, that's true. That's why I wait to have my fantasy draft the night before the season so I don't make those mistakes, save myself for myself. I liked Kevin as a guy a lot.
Good
I thought
dude.
he was a really nice person. He was a really hard worker. He cared a lot about the team, and you know, he wasn't a jerk. So it's very easy to root for guys who are, you know, who work hard and nice guys, good teammates, they're liked, and had bad luck. I mean, he became such a sympathetic character with these injuries of his, and probably was overdrafted, you know, probably was drafted way too high based on traits and a workout and not the route, you know, the proven route runner that he wasn't, probably didn't deserve to be drafted as high. I mean, if you go back to that draft and the Bears take Vic Beasley instead of Kevin White, think about how the trajectory of the franchise changes, because then you probably don't draft Leonard Floyd.
Yep.
You might not even go get Khalil Mack. You know, that it's a very weird thing to go back and look at that. And it's just sad. Yeah. Sad is the word that I,
and I mean, as bad as he was, Eddie Goldman was the second round pick.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
That's good.
Now, Hieronis Grasu was the third round
pick.
Not
so good.
And that's not so good. So you're going to have uneven draft picks. It's just that first round pick. You know, you mentioned Leonard Floyd. You want that first-round pick to work, especially if you trade up for a guy.
It's got to work.
Big year for Leonard Floyd.
Well, yeah, well, think about this, too, is that in order then to fix the receiver position, they had to go buy a bunch of guys. They had to go buy Allen Robinson. They had to go buy Taylor Gabriel. So, you know, as Pace talks about building through the draft and sustainability, this team, because of the Mack contract and because of the upcoming Trubisky contract, they're going to be up against it in a way that a team like the Colts is not. The Colts have a ton more cap room. There are other teams that are way better positioned with the cap. And it's things like that. It's things like you can't, you know, you need those rookies, those highly drafted rookies, to play well for you while they're cheap. So then you can build your team. Well, the Bears had to go buy these receivers. You know, a coach got fired because they had a terrible offense. Kevin White, if he was a real player, could have helped that whole thing. I mean, Yeah, that thing was a bit of a Jenga block that caused a lot of problems, and it wasn't necessarily White's fault, but yeah, that's really unfortunate.
New rule, all the guys you trade up for have to have a great year this year. How about that?
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah. Have a great
day,
guys.
Buddy. Take care. That is Rich Campbell covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.